With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
It really feels right to be talking to you at this time of the year, just before the High Holy Days, Andrea.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about stepping up to the plate in the new year. That seems like a very American analogy.
You know what? After I said it, after I wrote to your executive director there, Sina. Anyway, after I wrote to her and I said, I think stepping up to the plate is a baseball term.
Correcto.
And it's very correctamundo. So, but you know what, we bridge it. So yeah, stepping up to the plate. And the reason I thought of this, Simon, frankly, I had a little back and forth with a childhood friend, someone who I haven't spoken with in, well, I'm very young, you know, so this might have been 40 or 50 years, maybe. I haven't been in touch with this woman.
This is the irreligious lady who's talking to you about prayer.
No. So this is someone else. Okay. I'm all over the place, Simon. This is somebody else, somebody who I haven't spoken with in many, many years. And she's unfortunately very, very sick. And somehow when one is observant and came from a non-observant background, I'm like the mother confessor. People call. They think it's like the confessional. They tell me I didn't keep kosher. I didn't this. I go, who am I? I'm looking over my shoulder. Where exactly is the priest to whom they're speaking? And then I realized. You know,
yes.
You know, but anyway, Ronnie would love to be a Catholic. He wants to do confession. Chick, chick, you know, a little.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah, great, right. Gossip. He says, wow, you know, you get forgiven. You go in the booth. They give you a couple of, you know, things, and not so easy for the Jews. Nothing's easy for the Jews. So she was telling me, and it was weighing on her, the coming of the High Holy Days.
Yeah.
And she's sick, and she had this kind of, It's almost like, well, it's a non-Jewish idea of standing penitent in front of her maker and not being worthy of any kind of consideration at this, you know, terrible juncture of her life. And I found myself rooting for my team and wanting her to be upbeat and telling her that as long as we breathe in and we breathe out, it's never too late. It may be too late for us to, you know, lay out the cards. Is that a Las Vegas term? To get the hand that we might necessarily think that we want for ourselves, but it's never too late. And this is the time of the year where if somebody's saying, I can't do this, I'm not worthy of it, they're missing the point. It's not a mistake that this week's Parsha, Nitzavim, comes directly before it comes either during the week of Slichos, you know, the week of atoning prayers, or the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Because this Nitzavim, it means to be present, to be accounted, to stand erect, to appear, to be there, to be counted, to grab our seat at the table. There's no other responsibility for we Jews except to be there and say, I'm going to try harder. And if we see ourselves, if we stand before God today, awe, reverence, unwavering, we've already got the brownie points. We're already there. And what's incredible, Simon, is there's no special seats. I mean, I know that people buy special seats for the synagogue in the non-COVID years. But the fact is, it's said that both the water carrier and the prince have the same merit in the eyes of heaven. So I would encourage everybody not to sit and say, don't be harder on yourselves, you know, than God is. Say, I'm here. I have some demands. I have some wants. And what do? In return, I'm going to try my darndest. I'm going to try to be more moral. I'll try. Every day I will get up with good intentions. How the day closes, I can't say that when I open up my eyes. But to understand that the Torah is not in heaven. The Torah is not ephemeral and out of our grasp. It's not intended for angels who don't have those evil inclinations. You know, when we bless a child, oh, she should be like an angel. Oy vavoy, no. A child who can never make a choice. The Torah is for us. And our improper impulses. It is for us and our challenges. It's for us, even our sins, for our human frailties. We have strength. we have capacity, and we can at least endeavor to try to master the things that think, that make us think that we're not worthy of standing in front of God. No way, Jose. Go out, grab your seat, grab your chair, and say, I'm here. I'm going to try. Now, what do you have for me, God?
What a charitable, what a beautiful, what an important interpretation you've provided to that, Andrew, because I would imagine that there are many people who feel as your friend does. I mean, this is quite a hectic day. The words kind of speak for themselves. Who will live, who will die? This is serious stuff. This isn't play, you know, rehearsal stuff. This is the real deal that's going to be happening over the next week. And what you're saying is just do the best that you can.
You know what? It's, you know, the whole, who will live? Who will die? We see it. There's not a person, certainly nobody listening in South Africa is immune to the pain, the horror, the ravages of the plague that has befallen all of us. But you know, I like to think that when I'm sad, when I'm crying, when I'm frightened, it's not that big, scary God. It's a God who's sad for me. And wants me not to be frightened. Just wants me, wants for me. F-O-R, not F-O-U-R. F-O-R, wants for me. And if we understand, we can't run away from ourselves. People have tried. We certainly know that. But with the understanding that we have a piece of God in us and the whole idea of being created in his image, God, we're not going to cut off. God doesn't cut off his nose to spite his face. Well, it's the same attitude towards us. He's there just as a parent cares, a healthy parent, a normal parent, a normative parent wants better for their children, wants the best, wants their children not to cry at night, not to suffer. God wants no less. He's the epitome, the ideal of what a parent is. Don't be frightened. Give it up to God.
And you wonder why there's a queue of sinners outside your door. I think you've just explained it really, really well. Adrian says, wow, feeling the emotions as only Andrea can do. You have a way of conveying your emotions really, really well, Andrea. And for that,
Simon,
thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, from my seat in Jerusalem, outside of my Jerusalem window, I'm looking at the view. I'm looking at this holy land. And you know, I'm very, very aware of my own frailties, my own flaws. But really, from the bottom of my heart, to anybody listening in today, I wish them a Shana Tova, a Shana Mituka. We should all be blessed with health, with abundant love, with enough for our needs. And miracles every day. They're coming at us. They're there. And really, I could not be more sincere in this wish for all of us, all of Am Yisrael, and all of the world at large. At large is an R in there.
We're going to leave it there, Andrea Simantov, as he looks at the goosebumps on his arm. Thank you for talking to me. Everything that you've just wished us, I wish straight back at you. Shana Tova, Gmar Chatima Tova. It's going to be an odd month, actually. Not sure when we'll connect and when we won't, but I look forward to it already. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Bye-bye, my dear friend.